Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. a Nookshook has what you're looking for. A Nookshook's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, a Nookshook delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, a Nookshook is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with a Nookshook professional dog food. All right, it's that time of the week. It's Wednesday, and we are on the journey with another What's Up Wednesday. This one's going to be short, I think. I got a lot to talk about, but I want to try to condense it down. But first, I want to go over, so I dropped a reel, which will be a couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, I guess, about the tuna. And I got a lot of questions, a lot of feedback. I have always used tuna. I picked this up with Jeff Shetler, and I even mentioned him in the reel. That's what we were feeding, or that's what we were using to reward the dogs when we were tracking down at his place. So I started incorporating it into what I do. And I got a lot of questions about, well, are you trying to up their drive? Are you trying to do this? Are you trying to do that? No, I'm not. I'm just using it because it is a higher value reward than most dog food kibble. Dogs will track for the food because they got to eat, right, to survive. But when you add that little extra, it's basically like, I'm gonna give you supper. I'm gonna give you some crackers and water, all right? Or I'm gonna take you to a nice steakhouse. And the steakhouse is what we would prefer. We're gonna do a little extra for the steak. The same purpose and same thought process with the tuna. The dogs love it. You heard me say that it's canine crack. And it is. If you start using it, even if you just use it straight, just get the packs or the cans and use it straight, you will see the dogs enhance their ability a little bit. So anyway, I got several questions about that. What, you know, what was the thought process? So when I start my drags, the short drags, I'm not using the tuna. I don't start incorporating that until the puppies or the dogs or whatever I'm using the method on start to understand the task at hand. And when they're taking, you know, 30, 40 yard tracks with a turn or two in it, then I start upping the value or the reward, which is the tuna. And again, I've always used it. I've just never said that. I don't think I've posted that. But when I was at HITS back in August, Jeff and I were talking, and maybe even his class, I think in his class he mentioned it, that this is something that he uses, and he does. Like I said, I got it from him. And it just kind of reminded me that maybe I should put that out there. So I showed a little short clip where, and I go to the DG, and I get their $1 a pack, and I get a handful of them. And I, like I said, I just mix it in their food, okay? I can use the straight tuna. If I'm only doing one dog, I'm probably going to just use the tuna itself, and then I may feed them later. Or you can mix it up and however you want to work it. You can put the straight tuna in there. You can put tuna in a little bit of kibble, or you can put tuna in a whole lot of kibble. It doesn't matter. But it works. If you try it, you'll like the results, but the dog has to understand the task, which is what you're asking him to do, is go from point A to point B. So anyway, today, it's Sunday. I'm recording this on a Sunday. I have spent the better part of the evening basically doing this with my dogs. I laid a track for the pups now are 4.5 months old. They could be, 4.5 months old. The reel that I posted, they were just turning 4 months old. And I actually got a few questions about the age of the track. And yes, we all know that a 2-hour-old track is nothing to do cartwheels over, right? But when you start adding difficulty, you start upping the age, and then you start adding a turn or two in it or an obstacle. If you notice that I'm making the dogs are going under the track's actually going underneath the fence. And I did the same thing today. I don't think I've done a track since I recorded the one that I'd done for you guys or posted on the reel. So I actually did the same thing. I went under the fence today, and instead of going up and right-handed, I went across and left-handed around a big the big oak tree there, and come down and went all the way down to the lower turnout shelter and pulled up beside it. And in the middle of it, I had a glitch. So about three quarters of the way through the track, the battery went dead on the remote control car. I guess I hadn't charged it or I'd let it sit. I don't know, but it wouldn't go. So I ended up having to walk down there. And then the closer I got to it, I could get it to go a little bit. So I did stay back off of it. And I actually came, I actually flanked it from the left side. So I didn't even cross the fence where the dogs were, but I was walking beside it. So I had a little glitch right there. I knew I could hear the pump not running, pushing the scent out. So I would let it sit and I'd watch it drip. And then I'd run it, you know, 5 yards and I'd see it drip. And then I'd run it 5 yards. So the last 20 yards, 25 yards of the track, basically that's what I ended up doing. And it ended up working. So I want to up the age of the track, but I didn't because of the glitch. So I was still at the 2 hours. I want to get to 3 and then 4. I'd like to get them up to about 6, 6 hours. And then I'd like to lay it at dark tonight. And then when I get up in the morning, have them run it, which would be, you know, an 8 hour, 10 hour old track. But the weather conditions got to be right. When I checked the temps today, it was 62 degrees and the humidity was 41%. Preferably for me, I would like to have that humidity a little over 50. I'd like to have it up around, if you could have the humidity and the temperature about the same, 60 and 60, that would have been perfect. But they did good. Right there where the glitch happened, they actually made a couple circles. Well, actually one pup figured it out. The other one, I don't know what he did. He went up the fence line and was goofing around. And the other one had it figured out before he actually started the track. But he come back down. He caught odor, hard head turn, boom, right back up. He overrun it, hit the edge of the fringes of the odor, turned it back, went under the fence. And he worked it out on his own, too. I was very tickled with that instead of him just running to find the other dog. And this track was from what the one you've seen in the reel, if you watch the reel, this one was double, maybe even a little bit longer than double of that one. So I didn't make a lot of turns in it, right? It's straight, but I added length to it. And like I said, my intentions are to add age. So that's kind of how I'm going to progress with it. And just to go back and follow up on the last What's Up Wednesday we did with Scent Imprinting. So I've got another a litter that I'm working right now. And I actually started them today on their first drag. But made a couple, well, not a couple errors, but a couple things. Here's what happened. We haven't been very consistent with the scent pad. I've worked it 3 or 4 days in a row, and then I'm not home. Somebody, you know, they're feeding, and we've kind of hit or missed with the consistency of the scent pad. And I know that it's been at least 4 or 5 days since we used the scent pad. So I knew that it was probably going to be a struggle. So I put the scent pad down, done the drag, and all the pups come out. They worked where the food was at. And then after I put a little food down. Okay. And then after that, all of them kind of stand around looking at me like, all right, Dad, where's it at? Where's it at? And remember, I told you we're going to have that. I told you that once the dogs understood that the food's coming from you, the attention is going to be on you. And every time I put those pups up, and it may be twice a day and it may be 4 times a day, when I walk in their pen, I drop kibble for them. So they know that food always comes from Dad. So that's their attention was on me. Well, I just stood there, didn't go nowhere, just kind of hung out. And one of the little females, she put her nose down and she started working. And I'll post this, that reel. I'll make a reel and I'll post it when this podcast drops. One pup out of six, out of seven. Yeah, six, actually six. One pup out of six actually worked the track out, and it was a little longer than I should have done too. So I was pushing the envelope a little bit to see what I could get, and I immediately realized I needed to cut it probably in half. It was probably a good 10 yards, maybe 12 yards. I should have cut that to a 5 yard, 6 yard at the most. But she put her nose down, and I mean, it was very slow. And this drag wasn't 5 minutes, 10 minutes old at the most. And I did not saturate it either. So that was another thing. I went fairly light on the odor. I mean, I only put like 3 sprays on the drag itself. So, you know, for me, it was kind of an experiment. What can I get out of this? What will happen? So anyway, she put her nose down and she literally just kind of walked, boom, 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 and went right over and found it on her own. The other ones just kind of hung out, stood with us, watched us, kind of relying on us. And one of the other ones kind of popped its head up. And I mean, she had been eating for a good bit. And of course I had it. Remember, I told you I keep it behind something so that nobody else could see it. Well, one run over there, and then one of the little males, he ended up running over. And then it wasn't just a 30 seconds or a minute went by, and the rest of them was like, oh, what are they doing over there? And then everybody went over. So remember how I told you that, you know, you kind of got to just see how it goes. Most of the time it's one or two, not 10 or six or eight or seven or how many ever you have. It's usually one or two, like the light bulb goes off. But that does not mean that over time you will see a drastic change in the pups. Once they understand and learn what's going on, then they become more equal or evened out. And then once they go through that stage, you will see another one or two like stand out. So it's kind of like phases. They kind of go through phases. It's very, it's fun to watch them do that. But anyway, that's kind of what happened. So I wasn't disappointed. I need to back up a little bit. I'm going to do another 2 or 3 days of the imprinting because I'd skipped so many. So anyway, let me just go back, tell you what I did wrong. I was not consistent enough. We did the imprinting good for 7 or 8 days, but I don't know how consistent because of scheduling and everything else that it was done. And it's been 4 or 5 days since the last time we did it. So I've skipped that time period and went straight into trying to do a drag. And I think that slowed the process down and the drag was too long. So I got to back it up just a little bit. But the one little female, I mean, she figured it out. She worked it out, figured it out, and the rest of them, they'll come along. So don't be discouraged or upset with your first 2 or 3 or 4 times that it just doesn't go as planned, right? Like I said, it's a learning experience, and all these puppies, all your puppies, all your dogs, whichever it may be, even if you're just doing a solo, like it may not, your expectations may be way more advanced than what the dog is. And you got to make sure that the foundation is right. Just like what I just did. I skipped around a little bit and it caused some problems. I'm going to back up. I'm going to fix it and I'm going to move forward. So just to catch you guys up on that, like I said, I spent the better part of the evening just fooling with the younger dogs and going from there. I've got a little female that I got off my buddy Carl. And I had her out today. I was working on my garage still. Had her out today. And remember how I told you they were chasing cars and chasing horses? Well, I was working, wasn't paying attention. And she comes down through the field. One of the big old horses, she's right under. And that horse rolled her up pretty good. And by the time I could get my hands on the handheld, she done got up and got back after him. And I'm like, oh, Lord. So kind of worried me, you know, and a horse stomps them, it can break things and tear things up. But she come out unscathed and vibrate, vibrate, vibrate. got her attention away from him, got her back. So worked on that a little bit this morning. And it was very encouraging, you know, to see that and see that she did not get, she didn't get deterred by what happened. So that's kind of an encouraging moment, even though it's not what I want. It's not how I want that to happen, but I'll work on her a little bit more and go from there. She's coming 6 months old now. So I may take her out a little bit next month, a day or two. We'll just see. She reminds me a lot of Sassy, and y'all heard me talk about her last year. You know, I took her out and she was 7-8 months old, and I only hunted her, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times. It wasn't many. It was hard not to take her, but I'm probably going to do this one the same way. She's showing a lot of the same qualities. Not saying there's no bloodline, there's no kin, but she's showing a lot of the same thing. So we'll go from there. So I got back from North Carolina. I went down and spent three days with BB and Doug and TJ and Wayne and that bunch. Wade, it's always, you know, good to be able to go and do things. And, you know, I was coming home from that trip. It takes me about five and a half hours to get down to Doug's. And I was just coming home and I was trying to make it home for a ball game. And you hear me say it all the time. And like, I'm truly blessed that I am able to do the little bit of traveling that I do. And I have so many good people that have extended their invite for me to come and hunt with them, you know, whether it be the guys in West Virginia or North Carolina or, you know, Canada and Maine. And I mean, we can just go on and on and on. Like, I'm truly blessed that I'm able to do some of the things that I get to do, and work gets in the way. So I don't get to do everything that I want to do, but the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise and my health's good and everything, in a couple of years, like I intend to do a lot more of what I do. But anyway, I'd spent a couple of days down there, and I want to tell you about our hunt Monday, because something, I got to witness something that I've never seen. I mean, I'm 30 years in. Yeah, 30 years in. And I've never been able to do this, or I've never witnessed this. So Monday morning, we went into an area, and me and BB and TJ, and Robert Rom, he was there. There were several guys that I don't know, but I guess Doug and Wayne and Derek and them had went to another, they'd went on the other side. And anyway, they pushed some bear towards us, and I ended up packing two of my dogs, one of my Axe, my male dog, and then one of my puppies, year olds, Briggs. Y'all have heard me talk about him. He's my problem child, right? So anyway, we packed the dogs and they got in there, and Axe ends up going way left-handed and Briggs cuts and comes back right-handed, and the roar gets louder and louder. Well, Briggs is with that bunch of dogs, and Axe is that, I can barely hear dogs through there. And I guess he ends up with them, but he did, because BB ended up getting him. But so the dogs were caught. They weren't moving. They were caught. And TJ and I decided, We're gonna run in there and see what's going on. So they're 580 yards, 530, 40, 50. I don't know. They're 500 some yards from where we come off the road. So we get in there, and the closer we get, we can tell that they're bayed. They're not treed. There was one dog in there calking pretty good, which, come to find out, was my Briggs pup. So we get in there, and it was early. It was 7:40 some when TJ and I first laid eyes on this monster. And he's on the ground. We, you know, we radio back and tell him what's going on. And we try to push the bear out towards the road to get him closer. Well, our first evaluation of this bear was not big enough. Our second evaluation of this bear was not big enough. But he was a monster. So why I'm telling you this story is because TJ and I sat with this bear for over 2 hours. Five dogs. There was five dogs total. TJ had one. I had one. Wayne had two. And I even posted this on one of my stories. You see a speckled up white dog. That's Wayne's. The other dogs are right-handed, and I didn't get them in the frame. But so we sat with this bear and these five dogs for over 2 hours. So at first, now Briggs has been on a handful. And when I say a handful, I mean, he's made several races. He has been on one that was bait up, and that was the first bear he was ever on. We ended up catching all the dogs off. It was in early August. It was hot. So I'm going to say maybe I have to go back and look at my pictures and my videos and stuff, but they probably wouldn't on that bear 2 hours total. And it was moving. Like, it would walk and move and walk and move and walk and move. This one was not. He sat down. And I mean, sit down. And he didn't care about us being there. We were clapping and hollering, and he didn't care. But so when I first start watching the dogs, you know, of course I'm picking mine out because I want to see what he's doing. Like, you know, this is a good bear. It's in different country. It's, you know, it wasn't super thick, but it was thick enough where he was getting into some greenbriars and some nastiness just to keep himself halfway concealed. And he was always sitting down. So Briggs was barking at him pretty good. And he continued to do that. And the bear would move a little bit. When I say move, I'm talking like he'd go like 20 yards. I don't even know if he went that far. And then he'd find something, just plop down again. So about the second or third time that he moved. And when I say he moved, the total, he didn't move over 60, 70 yards over the 2 hour period. Like, he didn't go nowhere. But I started watching my dog's body language, and I was watching the other dogs. And, you know, I don't know how old TJ's dog was. I know Wayne's dog's just a little over two. And Derek's dog, I don't know what he was. I'm assuming he was a puppy too. So I'm watching the other dogs, and I mean, they're barking. Now they're being respectful. They're staying back off of this monster. And, you know, they're doing their job. They're just baying up. They're leaving him alone. He's leaving them alone. And I'm watching their body language compared to Briggs's. So Briggs's body language is he's intense up front. So front shoulders up, you know, you're getting all the right actions. You're getting the barking. You're getting everything that you want. But when you start going behind those shoulder blades and coming down to his tail was down below his, it wasn't tucked. But it was down, rolling right off his back legs. The other dogs were up above their back, not straight up, but 45-degree angle with a slight wag. Not a overly excited, like, bah, 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 wag, but, you know, just a steady wag. So the bear ended up moving again, and he got into a pretty good thick mess in there, and he stayed here for a long time, probably 30 or 40 minutes. This was the longest he stayed. So I'm watching, and the dogs get to crowding him a little bit. They can't get behind him because the way it's positioned. They get to crowd him a little bit. Well, he blows at him. He's popping his teeth. He's blowing at him, and he finally smacks the ground, and the dogs get really intense, right? And then as time goes on, they back off. They back off, and they're not as intense. Well, then one dog just kind of leaves. And when I say leaves, I mean he goes like 10 or 15 yards, and he uses the bathroom. Well, then another dog does the same thing. And then another dog. So three dogs did that. And I didn't pay attention to the other two. And then they come back and, you know, they're right back in the game, but the intensity has dropped. So the dogs kind of got bored with him sitting there. And like I said, he wasn't doing nothing. He'd look over his shoulder. He'd look around. That was it. And when he busted out of this one, when he finally come up out of this bunch, he went about, I don't know, 15, 20 yards. And, of course, the intensity picked up. You know, we always hear this, but we don't really see what's going on. And when we got to the last place, I literally pulled – I was sitting on a stump. TJ was nailed down in front of me. I was sitting on a stump. And Briggs's tail was up and wagging. So during that 30, 40, 50-minute period right there, I got to witness his confidence go up. Like, I actually got to see it. I got to see the beginning of this. Like, I'm unsure. Everybody else is barking. I'm going to participate because it looks like fun. The intensity picked up. The intensity dropped. The intensity picked back up. And then it moved. And I got to see growth. And we rarely do we get to watch it happen. You see it at one tree or one bay up, and then you don't get to see it again till you get to the next one. I literally got to see it like in the stages. Like, I got to watch him progress. And I was sitting on a stump watching him, and I mean, he was in there. He's a little bit more intense, tails, you know, wagging just like everybody else's at this point. And I was like, you know, I've never been able to sit with a bear for 2 hours. Like, you know, in a tree, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I've been in a tree for 2 hours before. Maybe. But to be on a ground with one, you know, we were within 10 yards the whole time. Like, we were just right there. Like, right there. We were surround sound right in the middle of the theater. It was happening. And I got to tell him, BB and TJ, about, I think me and TJ had talked about it, but just to get to witness that, something that you never get to see, something that I've never seen in 30 years. I've never sat with a bear on the ground for 2 hours in my 30 years, you know, in the mountains where I hunt. You know, they may bay up for a few minutes, but they're usually going to bust out of there. Like, you know, you may get 5, 10, 15 minutes out of it, but no way are you getting 2 hours. Like, I've never had that happen. So on the way home, that's when I kind of got to thinking about, like, you know, if Doug and BB wasn't gracious enough to let me come down and hunt with them and tag along with them, I would have never got to witness what I saw. And me, as, you know, a student of dogs, like, I want to learn. Like, I'm always learning. I always want to find out, you know, I want to know the little things that make them tick and the things that make them go. And getting to see that was just like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was phenomenal. I'll probably never get to witness that again. Like I said, 30 years in, I've never got to be in a scenario like that and watch. And it just happened to be my dog. So it made it even more, could have been more perfect. If it was somebody else's dog, I'd have still watched it. I'd have still seen it and learned. But being able to be my dog and watch him grow and see that confidence come up and see him, you know, just do better. Like, it was phenomenal. Like, it was phenomenal. So we didn't do a whole lot Tuesday. Bear got out of a block on us. And then Wednesday, they had TJ and I think DJ and BB had a dog down, and we thought they were caught, and I put my young dogs in there. Anyway, they popped up tree before my dog got there. But anyway, Briggs, when he got there, he was he hadn't been trained real well. but he was bark and treed. So that came from the confidence that he gained on Monday. And I mean, man, like, if you ever get to see something like that, and like really pay attention to the dog's behavior, pay attention to what's going on. It wasn't just, I'm sitting there watching a dog bark. Yeah. No, I mean, I went down and to the behavior and the tail down. If you heard me talk about Pino with the shotgun, you know, Pino still does his job. Of course, we've worked through that. But when he first started working around shotguns, like that tail would be down, he'd still do his job. Ears would be pinned back a little bit, uncomfortable, but I know what my job is and I'm still going to do it. And that's kind of what caught my eye with Briggs is, like, soon as I seen that, and I'm looking at everybody else's dogs, and I'm like, got a different body language here, different body language. So anyway, it was great for me. I truly, truly appreciate, you know, those guys having me. And, you know, that's something that I will remember. It's something I logged it in my book. You know, I keep records, and, you know, I couldn't wait to get back that evening so I could put that in my log. Like, you know, over this 2-hour period, this is what I saw. Bam. I saw this, I saw that. And then I saw the ending, and it was just great. So I know I'm kind of rambling on, but it was something you just never see. I've never seen it. I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've never been able to set like that with an animal. And it was truly, truly probably one of my better hunts that I've been on just because of that scenario. And BB went, got the other dogs. They were treed and had a nice. So that bear that we harvested there was 587. BB got on another one that was 549 and a 548. You just don't see those type of bear. And I think some of the guys that were, you know, that they had taken hunting, I don't know that they were appreciative as we were, because I don't think they understand that that's not your daily, that's not your typical bear. That's not bear that you see all the time. You just don't see those on a day-to-day basis. And to have three of them in the same place was just kind of mind-blowing. But we had a good hunt. Can't wait to do it again. And I can't wait till December rolls around so I can get the bee litter out more. That really excited me. I'm really looking forward to getting them out and getting them in the woods. And I've got them started, but like seeing that progression and seeing them do what I want them to do. That's the end result. Like, I want them catching game by themselves. I want to be able to take those four dogs and do it with just them. And if I can do that, then my goal will be accomplished. So we got some good things coming up over the next couple podcasts. I'm working on a series right now. I'm not going to give it away, but I'm working on a series, and I think you guys will really enjoy it. Again, this was an idea from the BB give me, and just got to put it together because I've got to interview some several different people. So thank you guys for tuning in. Catch you on the next What's Up Wednesday. Do you like to be outdoors like I do? If so, unlock the wilderness with Onyx Maps. It is your ultimate guide to exploring, hunting, and conquering the great outdoors. With detailed maps, real-time tracking, and exclusive access to public and private lands, Onyx Maps is your key to adventure. Discover the possibilities and never get lost again with Onyx. So subscribe today using the promo code K920, letter K, number 920, and know where you stand.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.